Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get started here today. Dear God, dear Creator, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be here in this sanctuary. Lord, you used this place to groom me many years ago, and it's such a privilege to be able to come back here again. And so, Lord, I know that just as humans that many of us, we can smile on the outside, but inside we're going through stuff. And I just pray in a special way that the message that you have given me today, it will leave us closer to you. And I ask a favor, dear Lord, and that is that you take self out of Terry Johnson this morning and make me a mirror to just reflect you. In your name, I ask this prayer. Amen. There was a wise preacher many years ago that I had the chance to meet early in life, back in the Washington, D.C. and New York area when I was pastoring. And he told me a story that I will never forget. He said a gentleman came into his office one day and said that I'm going to leave church and I'm leaving all this Christianity stuff and I just wanted to come to you as my pastor to let you know that I'm out of here. And the wise preacher thought for a few moments. He says, all right, I can understand that, but before you leave, let me just ask you why. He says, I'll tell you why I'm leaving all this stuff. It's one word. And the one word is simply this: problems. Everywhere I go, there seems to be a problem. I wake up in the morning, start talking to my wife, there's problems. I'm having breakfast trying to get my head together. My kids come up to me and they got problems. I get to work and there's even more problems. And then finally, I come to church wanting peace and they got problems. I'm just out of here. I'm just leaving. And the wise old man thought for a few moments, this pastor, and this is what he said. Sir, it's so funny you say that. Because I was just at a place the other day and not one single person had a problem. The guy's eyes got big. He says, where's this place at? And the guy said, right in New York City. He says, well, how many people were there? And the guy, pastor, thought for a few moments, says, I don't know, maybe 10,000. He says, there's a place where there's 10,000 people and there's no problems. Pastor, that's where I want to go right now. Please take me. And as some of you have already imagined, the pastor said, okay, if you want to go to Roseland Cemetery, I'll drive you there myself. What the pastor was saying is no matter how long we live, we're going to face challenges. But what makes the difference is our attitude and how we handle it. And as believers and as Christians, the good news is that we don't have to handle our problems by ourselves. We have a Savior that says over and over in Scripture, bring your problems to me. Bring your burdens, even though they may be heavy. I can help make them light. But the problem is that many of us hold on to our problems, and that doesn't make anything any better. In fact, the former slave, Harriet Tubman, who was the one who did the Underground Railroad, I'll never forget, after slavery, the New York Times did an interview on her, and one of the things she said, I will never forget, she says, I love bad days. And the guy who was interviewing said, you love bad days? That doesn't make sense. And what she said, I will never forget. She says, the reason I love bad days is because of this. If I didn't have a bad day, I wouldn't know what a good day was. Wow. It's all about our attitude. Deborah read our scripture this morning, found in, she read it very beautifully, found in Mark chapter 10, And if you have your Bibles with you, that's Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. And we're going to hear a story about a person who had a problem. That's Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And it says, "Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus with his disciples together, a large crowd was leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus," which means the son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 48. "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even the more, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 49. "Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.'" Verse 52. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. We're talking about problems. Here was a person that had a problem. Blind. In fact, we really don't even know his name. All we know is says that he was a son of Timaeus. So we have this nameless blind person begging for a living. In fact, I did my research on this, and it's interesting. If you were to look up the average person in those days who had a handicap, especially blindness, this is what his day most likely would have been like. After waking up in the morning with his family, he would have to beg someone to take him to the city gates. And according to the Jewish law, Leviticus law, that's where the only place he could beg is there in the gates, and he had permission to do that. And the average person like that would beg for almost 20 hours. And after begging all day, he would have to beg someone to bring him back home again. Can you just imagine that? Begging someone to take you to go beg. Begging 20-something hours. Then begging someone to bring you back home. Day after day after day. And that should have been the end of his story. But the scripture says this. When he heard that it was Jesus coming to him, near him, he realized that was his hope. And I like to say this, that I don't think Bartimaeus was really blind. And some of you said, "What, Chaplain, what do you mean? It says that right in the scripture, he was blind. What do you mean?" But let me tell you this, is that Bartimaeus used the title or the phrase, "son of David." And if you were to look that up, the son of David was used only for the true Messiah, the true son of God. So Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he was not spiritually blind because he could see that it was Jesus. And you had many there who could physically see Jesus, but they couldn't spiritually see him. And there are many of us here today that as we go through different things, we can find ourselves spiritually blind. That we're going through life holding on to our problems, thinking things are so tough, it's not going to get better. Instead of realizing like Bartimaeus, Jesus is the one that can truly help us. And it's interesting, it says that in verse 48, that people rebuked him and told him, "Don't cry out to Jesus." But instead, the scripture says that he cried out to Jesus even more. And there are many of you here today that you have faced a challenge in your life. And you went to someone to help encourage you. Instead of encouraging you, that person just told you it's not going to get any better. They made you feel worse than when you came to them. And you have an option when that happens. You can just give up and say, yep, they're right. Poor me. That son I'm praying for is never going to, that daughter, it's never going to get any. And we can spiritually give up. But friends, my challenge for you is even when people tell you it's not going to get better, that your situation is hopeless, it's impossible, be like Bartimaeus. Cry out to Jesus even more. Even more. That's the time that we need Jesus the most. Don't wait until you're thinking everything's going to be perfect and then I'm going to go. No. You need him in the midst of your problem. My grandmother, her name was Grizel Settles. She was born in 1913. She married the love of her life. And they were married for around 12 years, and something happened called World War II. They didn't have kids, and some of you are wondering, how can she be your grandmother? And I'll explain that. Well, they made it through the war. And then my grandfather, he was chosen to be one of the first African Americans in the newly formed United States Air Force as an African American sergeant. Because prior to that, the Air Force was part of the Army, and then they broke off and became their own separate branch, and they had to recruit people. And they were so proud they had chosen him for this position. 1 year after him being in the newly found Air Force, they discovered that he has leukemia. And a year after that, he dies, making my grandma a widow. And here she was now facing a situation. A widow in her mid to late 20s. And grandma made a decision that she would never marry again until she sees her husband when Jesus comes. That was just a decision that she made. So on her own, she decided to enroll into a Bible college. And she said she would be a missionary. And so she enrolled into a school called Moody School of the Bible. And those that are familiar with Billy Graham, that's the same place he went. And actually, his wife and my grandma were in the same class together. And my grandmother worked hard. She washed clothes. She did everything she could to pay her bill. And she was studying this new thing, missionary science or whatever. But the ultimate goal was to be a missionary. Well, my grandmother's junior year, the person who lived across the hall from her noticed that every break, whether it's Christmas, summer, grandma never went anywhere. She stayed there working in the kitchen, washing clothes to pay her bill. And so Marge told her parents about it, and her parents said, you know what? For this next Christmas break, why don't you bring her home to Oregon with you? And so Marge invited my grandmother, raised in South Carolina, to come to a place called Beaver Creek, Oregon. And you can imagine this in the late 40s, an African American coming to Beaver Creek, Oregon. And so my grandmother went there, had a good time there in Beaver Creek. Marge's family, they're a huge farming family. In fact, the little store, all that is still named after them there, Marge and all that. And grandma spent those 2 weeks with them and went back. And then the senior year, never forget this, grandma graduated number one in her class. The top honor. And usually the top honor, you can choose any place you want to go by the different Bible societies to go and be a missionary. And so when they gave out the assignments, They gave everyone a missionary assignment except my grandmother. Here she was, number one in the class, the highest honor that they give out, but no assignment. Now, grandma had a choice. She could be very bitter at that time. She could say, they discriminated against me, this is not fair, whatever. But grandma did like Bartimaeus. She turned her situation over to the Lord. And grandma stood up in that class, 30, 40 people, and said, you know what? Next Monday night, we're going to have a missionary party. And I'm inviting all of you to come to this missionary party. And the people started asking, a missionary party, what is that? She said, you just got to come and you'll see it. And so grandma cooked a great big meal, invited all of her classmates and teachers. And Monday, they all showed up, even the president of the college. They were wondering, what in the world is this lady talking about? After they were done eating, grandma said, everyone gather up, follow me. And they walked over to a wall. And there was a map of the world on the wall. And grandma told Marge, and I'm not making this up, she told Marge, Marge, blindfold me. And I'm going to go where the Lord tells me to go. And all the people are looking in shock. They blindfold grandma. She holds out her finger. She goes over to the wall and just places her finger on a country, told Marge to unblindfold her, and her finger landed on a country called Liberia, West Africa. And grandma ended up spending over 40 years as a missionary in Liberia. And someone asked, well, how do you do this? And Marge used to tell the story. People would say, well, who's going to pay for this? Is it a church? She says, nope. The farmers in Beaver Creek, Oregon are going to pay for this. And Marge looked at her and said, what? She said, yep, the Lord told me. And so after graduation, she goes back home with Marge. She cooks this great big meal for this little country church. Car and I have driven by this little church that's still there. And after church, she said to this congregation, y'all are going to pay for me to be a missionary. And those farmers, for over 40 years, paid for grandma to be a missionary. Grandma started 13 girls' schools up in Liberia. In fact, a former president's wife was one of the graduates of one of her schools. She would go there, start a school up, run it for a few years, get someone to be in charge, and come back to America to raise more money to go start another one up. And that's what she did. On one of her trips here raising money, grandma was speaking, and my mom was in the audience, and grandma couldn't take her eyes off of mom. And finally, when it was done, she goes over to my mother and says, the Lord just told me I'm going to be your mother. My mom started crying because her own mother back in Louisiana had passed away 2 months ago. And she still wondered to this day, how did she know? And so she adopted my mom. And so Griselle is the only grandma I've ever known. But she taught me that valuable lesson. When you face a challenge, don't give up. That's the time to depend upon God the most. In fact, there's a story I'm almost embarrassed to even share with you. That I'm a graduate of Portland Adventist Academy. My senior year at the academy, I had fun. All I can tell you is that I had too much fun. Because just before graduation, it was probably maybe a month and a half, I got called into the principal's office. And he simply said, Terry, I'm sorry. You need to let your parents know you're not going to be able to graduate with your class. That you're your grade in English is just too bad. He's been trying to work with you. You haven't showed up. And there's just no way that you're going to be able to graduate. And so I thought for a moment, what am I going to do? So I go home, and my intentions really were to tell my parents, tell my mom about this. But I didn't say anything. And then I will never forget this as long as I live. My grandmother had called from Africa, Liberia. And back then, that was a big deal, a lot of money. And my mom handed me the phone, and grandma says, Terry, I'm so proud of you. I know that school has not been easy for you, but I have a surprise. I'm going to fly from Liberia and come to your graduation. Here's my chance to tell the truth. And I simply said, thank you, Grandma. I can't wait to see you. I lied. Grandma flies all the way over from Liberia. And by this time, we're to the point, it's 3 weeks before graduation. And then Grandma says this to me, Terry, I want to buy you a suit for graduation. I want you to be the best looking kid up there. I looked at her. Thank you, Grandma. I'm still lying, knowing that I'm not going to graduate. 2 weeks before graduation, Grandma and I drive over to Clackamas Town Center. And some of us remember the word Meyer and Franks. I'm going way back. That eventually turned into Macy's. But we're there driving in the parking lot. Mom's in the back seat. Grandma's in the front seat. And Grandma just kept saying how proud she is of me. She says, I want you to go in that store, and I don't care what the price of the suit is. You get any suit you want. And I was still lying. Okay, no, I'm not going to graduate. And then Grandma said something that broke my heart. She says, Terry, I'm so proud of you. And I want you to know, don't feel bad about buying any suit you want, because the last 6 months I've been skipping my meals to pay for the suit for you. And even a tough guy like me back then, I just started crying. Thinking of my poor grandmother not eating, sacrificing for me. And here I am just lying, lie after lie. And I'll never forget Grandma said, pull the car over. What's wrong? Pull it over. And right there in the parking lot, I know the very spot to this day, Clackamas Town Center, we pull the car over. Tears coming down my face. And then I tell my grandmother and my mother the truth. I'm not going to graduate. They don't even have me on the roster. And grandmother said, Terry, why didn't you say something? I could have been praying for you. We could have been seeing how God was going to work this out. And what grandma would do when she would really get upset, and she would say, let's just pray. And so we started praying right there in the parking lot. And friends, I'm not making this up. Grandma takes her hand, slaps it on my forehead, and says, Lord, forgive this boy. Teach this boy to be honest. All of a sudden, Grandma said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Grandma said, the Lord just told me you're going to graduate with your class in 2 weeks. I said, Grandma, that's impossible. You don't understand. The principal said. And Grandma must have saw that my faith was weak, because she took her hand and slapped it again on my forehead and started praying again. And Grandma said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Lord just said, you're going to graduate from high school and you're going to graduate from college. And I'm saying, Grandma, you don't understand. I can't even get out of high school. And you're saying, I'm going to go to college? And friends, once again, I'm not making this up. She slapped me again in the forehead and started praying. And says, the Lord just said, you're going to get a master's degree. My mom's in the back. Even my mom started going, all right now. You're getting a little too excited, Grandma. Said, no, the Lord's going to just told me he's going to get a master's degree. And on top of that, the Lord just said he's going to get a doctorate. Park the car. Come on, we're going to go get your suit. I'm in shock. My mother's in shock. We go into Meyer and Frank's, pick out a suit, and Grandma said, all right, drive me over to that academy. We go over to the academy. Says, all right, I'll be back. She left me and Mom in the car. She went and talked to the principal, and she came back with some papers. You're going to do this for the next 2 weeks. And the principal said, you're going to graduate. And do you know that I graduated from Portland Adventist Academy with one of the lowest GPAs? I won't even go into that. I went on to receive a bachelor's degree, not one, but two, from Oakwood College. While I was here at this very church, went on to get a master's degree. And the biggest honor that I had in my life in 2012, Grandma had passed away by then, but holding her Bible from Liberia, I walked down the aisles of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. to receive my doctorate degree. The same little fellow that was facing a problem, that was lying and giving up and all this stuff. And so that's why I leave you here today to say, whatever you're facing, use the example of Bartimaeus. In fact, Bartimaeus did three simple things that we all can do here. Three simple things. Many of you remember Elder Kuhn. He wrote a book called The ABCs of Faith. And the three things that Bartimaeus did that when he faced a challenge was this. A, he asked God for help. It all starts there. Two, he believed. He believed that God could really do something about his problem. Whether it was the way he wanted it to work out or whatever, but in the end, we have to believe that even if we're going through a challenge, that God will not give us more than that we can bear. But that's where the devil comes in, that belief part, because we start looking at the problem, and then our belief starts to shrink. And that's why he said in the scriptures, even if you have to say, Lord, help my unbelief, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, but you have to believe. And finally, C, we have to claim our promise. We have to say, Lord, I may not know the ending of this, but I'm going to trust that you're going to do this for me. So friends, as we end here today, there are some of us here that are going through stuff, and I don't know what it is, and it's not even my business of what it is. My old Louisiana grandfather would say, either you're going through something, you're in the middle of something, or you're coming out of something, but you're somewhere there. And maybe there's something in your heart, something that you want the Lord to help you with. And as Grandma prayed for me, I want to have a special prayer for you. So this is just between you and the Lord, nobody else. But if there is something, someone that you need Lord to do something, I'm going to invite you to stand. And once again, it's between you and the Lord, whatever that might be. But I want to pray a prayer for you like my grandma did for me. Don't worry who's looking at you, who's around you. This is between you and the Lord. But if there is something that you just want to say, Lord, I'm turning this over to you. And I ask you to leave here today asking Jesus to help you, believing. Even if it's a person you're praying for that just seems like the more you pray, the worse they get. Believe. And most of all, leave here claiming your victory. That, Lord, I have turned this over to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, the older that I get, the more that I see that things aren't by accident. Me speaking here today, it's not by accident. There is someone here today, Lord, that is smiling on the outside, but you know in their heart what they're going through. You know that situation that seems impossible to them right now. There are some here today, Lord, that it's a financial issue, that it just seems like it's overwhelming. In fact, they're afraid to even open the mail up because they know it's going to be more bills. Help them to turn that over to you. Lord, there's others that are praying for someone else. Their hearts are so heavy. And as I said earlier, it seems like the more they prayed for that loved one, the worse they get. And Lord, may they look at me, and I'm a product of prayer and what prayer can be changed and how it can do. Give them the faith, dear Lord, to believe that that person can be changed in your way and in your time. And finally, Lord, there's someone here today that spiritually, they know who they are. They're not connected to you the way they should be and they used to be. Oh, yes, they can come to church. We can do all that stuff. But inside of our hearts, we just know. And even in that situation, Lord, you can make a difference. So I thank you right now for this chance to be able to just share what you've done for my life and for my family life. And may my friends here have a testimony that they're going to be able to share one day of what you did for them today. In your name we pray. Amen.